So this evening is the beginning of Beltane. I'll start with this. Beltane is a holiday in the ancient Celtic calendar. And in the ancient Celtic world, they conceived the year as a circle. A circle that has a light half, sort of an upper light half, you might say an archetypally masculine half, and a dark half, you might say an archetypally feminine half. And Beltane is the crossover point from the dark half to the light half. And so you might say it's a seam, one of the seams between the two halves of the year. The other seam is Samhain, which is 6 months from now. And these two holidays that are the seams between the light half and the dark half, it's said that the boundary between the two worlds is very thin. And often in the stories of Irish mythology, the heroes wind up having encounters with all kinds of magical beings that are crossing over from the other side and causing all kinds of mischief. And this tends to happen on Beltane and Samhain. And one way to think about this, just in very practical terms, you could say that this time of year, in some ways, is a very confronting time of year. Within us, of course, we have our public faces, you know, we have our shit together and we're all, you know, very competent, we go through the world like that. And then we have these private worlds inside where we have all kinds of whatever irrational fears or irrational stories, the place where dreams come from. Two very different worlds. And this time of year, suddenly, you know, the amount of daylight expands tremendously. There's all kinds of shifts in people's hormones. Among other things, it's a time of year that, you know, people are all bundled up in the winter. And now suddenly it's warmer and people are making different choices about what to wear. And so there's, you know, what am I going to wear? What do other people wear? You know. Of course, there are those freaks that always wear shorts all year. And insofar as we're out trying new things, meeting new people, there's this possibility for, you might say, an intermingling of this inner world with our outer world. You know, the way that sometimes, say, our irrational fears or our irrational conversations some influence the way the choices we actually make in the otherwise sane intersubjective world. So certainly some interesting issues around showing up just in that context. Part of this holiday in Germany is known as Walpurgisnacht. Walpurgisnacht is actually tonight. And this was thought of as a witches' festival. And so the people with more pagan inclinations would be going out into the woods and lighting bonfires and sort of celebrating the spring and all the vernal energies. And of course, the people who were afraid of the witches, of course, the people went out into the woods, they'd always, you know, bring all kinds of pots and pans and bang and clatter and make all kinds of noise to scare the bejeebers out of the Christians, you know, thing. And so that dichotomy fascinates me. The people who are celebrating life, who are embracing life and celebrating it, and the people who are defended against life and afraid of life. And I dare say all of us have both of those places inside of us. You know, the places inside of us that absolutely want to move toward greater connection and liberation and new possibilities and love. And then the parts of us that are like, I don't know. You know? So again, issues of the balance between those and how do we show up? So I got very interested in this whole issue of how do we show up? What does it mean to show up in life? And certainly one aspect of showing up, of course, you might say a bare minimum, is being present and paying attention. But it's interesting, I can be present and pay attention, but still be entirely in my head. And showing up is a little more than that. Showing up is really about, am I showing up as an embodied presence? Am I showing up with my heart? Am I showing up connected to my vulnerability, connected to all my emotionality? We present a very different presence in the world if we're just in our head versus if we're more connected to our human wholeness. And obviously, if we were, you know, Buddha-like, we'd be showing up fully, fully embodied, fully awake, fully paying attention 24/7. Theoretically, every moment does present to us a possibility of showing up fully. Now, whether we show up fully when we're standing in the grocery store, that, you know, may or may not be the most crucial thing in our day. Of course, there are times, especially when somebody is in crisis in a moment of need, if we can show up fully for them, that can be an astonishing gift for them. So there's an aspect that is around attention, presence, but then there's also an aspect around, you might say, follow through or action. Because, of course, the loudest statement I make is the statement I make with my actions every day. You know, if I say, yeah, I value compassion and kindness and all that, but then I go out and I'm being a jerk, I'm not really showing up as a compassionate person. And so if you think about your values, suppose someone's followed you around with a TV camera for a day, or for a week, or whatever. How are you showing up in the world? You know, and again, you know, not to judge, not to condemn, but it's purely as information. How are you showing up? You know, if you think of the various kinds of energies in your life, money, for example, someone looked at how you spend money in the course of a month. What statement would it make about you? Again, not to judge, not to condemn, but just it's information. How are you showing up monetarily in the world? The loudest statements we make are the actions we do every single day. Something I do every single day is something that I really embody. And even if it's just saying something every day, this is the power of affirmations and mantras and things like this, even just saying it every day, as the consistency has tremendous power. So there's a particular kind of showing up that is very powerful and very impressive, and that is being able to show up in a moment of shock, in a moment of crisis. What happens in shock, and it may be, you know, it may be something that shocks everybody, or it may just be the thing that someone says to me, and then I'm the only one who's shocked by it. During shock, it's very typical to become ungrounded. You know, ungrounded, flustered, that sort of thing. And we lose our presence. We lose our, you know, we're not really showing up in that moment. We're kind of somewhere else. You know, You can sometimes, you can just watch people going into story and they're not here anymore. So there's a hexagram from the I Ching that I want to discuss in this context. Some of you may know I consult the I Ching every day. It's a very, very powerful book. And so this hexagram, I put a picture of it on the quote sheet. From the bottom up, it's solid, broken, broken, solid, broken, broken. And so it is thunder over thunder. The trigram of solid, broken, broken is thunder. And it's funny, in Western civilization, we have this story that thunder comes from the sky. You know, Zeus or Thor, or somebody up there, they have a box of thunderbolts and they're throwing them down from the sky. The source of thunder is the sky. In China, they say the source of thunder is the earth. And it's something that wells up from below. And in fact, from the point of view of physics, it doesn't matter. It's a circuit that's completed. It doesn't matter which way you say it's going. But it's really fascinating to think about that it's something that wells up from the earth. And so they recognize that there's this, the quality of shock is something that comes from below and has the potential to unground us. So I'll read this is the core text of the I Ching. This is the text that was already ancient by the time Confucius wrote his commentaries on it. Shock brings success. Shock comes, O-O. O-O representing like words of fright. Laughing words, ha-ha. The shock terrifies for 100 miles, and he does not let fall the sacrificial spoon and chalice. So there's a lot going on there. First of all, shock brings success. Might sound like an odd line. The I Ching has roughly three kinds of hexagrams. They're the ones that are just happy, joyful success. You know, like, as long as you don't screw it up, it's going to be successful. Then there are ones like this that are really challenging, but they say success because there's the possibility that if you respond to that energy with extraordinary skill, it can be a successful outcome. And then there are also the hexagrams that, like, just, it does, you're screwed and it doesn't matter what. Like, doesn't matter what you do, you're going to eat it. So this is a particularly challenging hexagram, but it presents a possibility of success. So I love the fact that it has the frightened words as well as the laughing word, because of course you think when a shock happens, you know, some people go into panic, some people go into nervous laughter. Both of them are kind of, you know, ungrounded ways of like just processing energy. But then this idea, the shock terrifies all for 100 miles, but he does not let fall the sacred spoon and chalice. And this idea of holding something precious, and ultimately what we're holding is our own presence, our own grounded, sensitive, vulnerable, embodied presence. This sacred presence in the world. And in this moment of shock, do I lose that? Or can I hold that and remain connected to it in that moment of shock? And that is a profound sort of showing up in the world. And I would say that, how can I say? We can practice all kinds of skills, but the skills that are relatively new to us or relatively unfamiliar to us are the ones that disappear when we're in a moment of crisis. And in a moment of crisis, we fall back on what's very familiar. And that's why a lot of people in a moment of crisis, they just go into a childhood pattern, because that's what's most familiar. Insofar as we can practice presence and make the practice of presence and the practice of showing up a discipline, then that becomes familiar enough that it's something that we can still maintain even in a moment of shock. And that's something very powerful. So at this point, I'll pass out the quote sheet. You get the I Ching thing at the top and the, you know, it's spread out. So I'll just...
You look nice and comfy.
You're comfy too.
This is falling asleep.
And I want to start by reading the poem on the back, which is a poem about presence and about showing up for yourself in a very particular kind of way. This is a poem by David White. Start close in. Don't take the second step or the third. Start with the first thing close in, the step you don't want to take. Start with the ground you know, the pale ground beneath your feet, your own way of starting the conversation. Start with your own question. Give up on other people's questions. Don't let them smother something simple. To find another's voice, follow your own voice. Wait until that voice becomes a private ear listening to another. Start right now. Take a small step you can call your own. Don't follow someone else's heroics. Be humble and focused. Start close in. Don't mistake that other for your own. Start close in. Don't take the second step or the third. Start with the first thing, close in, the step you don't want to take. And there are just a variety of fascinating quotes I found on this particular topic. I'll just read through these. The first one is by a Christian theologian, Robert Ferrara Capone. If God seems to be in no hurry to make the problem of evil go away, maybe we shouldn't be either. Maybe our compulsion to wash God's hands for him is a service he doesn't appreciate. Maybe all theodicies and nearly all theologians to the contrary, evil is just where we meet God. Maybe he isn't bothered by showing up dirty for his dates with creation. Maybe, just maybe, if we ever solved the problem, we'd have talked ourselves out of a lover. I just love the imagination of that one. Wayne Dyer tells us very simply, if you don't make peace with your past, it will keep showing up in your present. Very simple. Greg Boyle says, showing up in the lives of children is everything. The author Holly Goldberg Sloan says, and just being there is 99% of what matters when your world falls apart. You know, when my world falls apart, just the fact that someone else can be there is what so matters. A couple from Brené Brown, who's wonderful on this topic. Vulnerability is about showing up and being seen. It's tough to do that when we're terrified about what people might see or think. And again from her, the willingness to show up changes us. It makes us a little bit braver each time. Marie Forleot says, showing up fully, exactly where you are, is the fastest way to get where you want to go. Titus Burgess says, there is absolutely nothing you can control except showing up and doing your job. And it's so true in so many scenarios. Thousand things I can't control, the only thing I can control is how I show up. This one from Jenny Han, this is from a novel, but I love this passage. That's when I finally got it. I finally understood. It wasn't the thought that counted. It was the actual execution that mattered, the showing up for somebody. The intent behind it wasn't enough. Not for me. Not anymore. It wasn't enough to know deep down he loved me. You actually had to say it to someone, show them you care. And he just didn't. Not enough. So I love that idea that, you know, we give ourselves credit. Well, it's the thought that counts. I had good intentions. No, it's how you show up. Shannon Adler says, the truest measure of a best friend is where they are when you make the biggest decision of your life, not where they were during the decision process. Suzette R. Hinton says, it is the doing of your calling that attracts the support of the God of the universe. When I stepped into that space, the wind in my life changed direction. The doing rallied the heavens. It was the voice of my faith. If you don't do out of your being, you aren't truly showing up. Maybe that's what's meant by faith without works is dead. Without it, there are no smoke signals going up to attract people, resources, or opportunities. That one's complex and powerful. And from Alara Hutchinson, bravery is the choice to show up and listen to another person, be it a loved one or a perceived foe, even when it is uncomfortable, painful, or the last thing you want to do.